Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Health and Wellness Connection podcast. The most awesomest, is that a word? No, the most amazing show designed to bring you the most up-to-date information regarding health and wellness topics. Now, of course, I, your host, Dr. Barry, can be found all over the interwebs. You can find me on a numerous number of platforms, including Instagram, my ID, I guess, is at Dr. Barry MD, all one word. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/nextlevelweightloss, all spelled one word. And lastly, you can find us on the internet via our health and wellness blog, www.controlyourw8.com. Again, that's the number 8 at the very end, not spelled out, just the actual numeral. controlyourw8.com. Check us out for some of the most up-to-date information regarding health and wellness topics to help you lose weight and live a more advanced and healthy lifestyle. So today's show is going to be, I think, a very pertinent topic, being that this is the summertime and everyone's out and about. Women out here wearing less clothes, well, men too, actually. And everyone is trying to, you know, find ways to stay cool in the intense summer heat. Now, of course, this is the nature of school being out and people being able to move about more freely. People are definitely getting together to do the dirty, or should I say, basically people have more intercourse. And so it's important that, you know, while we are out there having fun and meeting new people and potentially engaging in sexual activity, you want to make sure you're doing it safely. In today's show, we're going to talk about sex and some of the things associated with sex, including safe sex practices, some of the concerns regarding STDs and their recent surge as of late, and some of the reasons why that may be. And overall, because sex is a very important part of life, it's very important that you're practicing safe sex so that you're not exposing yourselves to potentially very dangerous health consequences. So we're going to talk about some brief issues that affect those who aren't practicing safe sex and some of the things we can do to help encourage folks to ensure that they're doing what they can to stay safe out there. Because again, you don't want to, you know, eat right and do well, then catch a incurable illness and die of some sort of, you know, medical problem that could have been prevented had you been practicing safer sexual practices. Now, what prompted me to do this show is actually I was just kind of browsing the internets, and I came across a very interesting article. It was actually put out by the CDC, which is also known as the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And they're actually, you know, basically released an article saying how STD rates have actually spiked over the past few years. Apparently, since 2016, rates of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis have all increased for a third year in a row. And this is in America now. Of course, these illnesses are present all over the globe, so my worldwide listeners, you definitely are someone who could benefit from this information. But it's pretty shocking, given all the information we have out here regarding sex. And maybe, you know, it's just out there, but people aren't searching for it. But despite the information's availability, people are still, you know, appear to be engaging in activities that are actually harmful to their overall health. And, you know, because we're all focused on ways to improve health and wellness, we have to be sure that people are aware of the dangers of unsafe sexual practices. And, you know, we're going to talk about those briefly to kind of reintroduce people to some of these important topics. Now, STDs can affect anybody out there, but some groups are definitely more prone to getting certain STD infections than others. Now, adolescents, of course, they're probably considered the most sexually active group, 15 to 24 years of age, typically have some of the highest rates of some of these STDs, especially chlamydia and gonorrhea. Syphilis is also making a rise, and we're going to go in detail on some of these common illnesses in the later part of this podcast. So if you're not following me fully, just bear with us. We're going to definitely get everybody on the same page. Now, another concerning group is the gay or bisexual community, especially the men. Men who have sex with men, classified as MSM, are also a very a very large number of some of the new syphilis cases. Syphilis was a condition that was considered fading away as of a few decades ago. Apparently, it's making a recurrence. And out of these patients with syphilis, a lot of them are also living with HIV. So it's very important that you know, people out here who are engaging in sexual activity, especially men who have sex with men, are very cognizant of safe sex practices, because it's very potentially dangerous if people engage in sexual activity without taking the proper precautions. Now, the proper precautions is something that we definitely need to kind of go in detail about. What are things you can do to, you know, practice safe sex? I think the most obvious choice, which has kind of been the gold standard, is just the male condom. The male condom is your typical condom, you know, found pretty much everywhere at this point. Local pharmacies, your local clinics. And a condom is simply normally comprised of latex, and it's designed to be worn around the male penis. Now, it's very important that people who use condoms as their way of practicing safe sex do so correctly, because condoms aren't foolproof. Basically, you have to make sure you put them on correctly and use them correctly, or else they could be a very disastrous way to engage in safe sex. Now, when using a condom, very important, the main thing you have to do is critical. You use a condom only when the penis is erect. It's very important. If it's flaccid, that could actually have the condom fit improperly and could make it less effective. So essentially, you're opening in the condom packet, you're going to pinch out the air at the tip of the condom, and then unroll it all the way down to the base of the penis. Now, this is critical, because if not done correctly, again, you will definitely have a condom failure, which is something you don't want if you're concerned about safe sex. Now, the condom is, again, probably the most popular way that people like to engage in safe sex practices. Now, condoms, people say, oh, God, I hate using condoms. Condoms suck. They make the sex feel worse. The reality is this. If you're engaging in intercourse with multiple sexual partners, it's critical that you use a condom every single time you have sex. When used properly, they're about 98% effective at preventing pregnancy. And again, all these numbers are from the CDC. So if you have any concerns, definitely feel free to reach out to me, and I can direct you to those links if you have more information. but again, back to condom use. So condom, again, is about 98% effective at preventing pregnancy. So again, this is if used perfectly. So again, people who don't use it perfectly, they can potentially reduce that effectiveness down to 85%. So it's critical that, you know, you're very cognizant on how you're using condoms and making sure you're using them regularly and every time you engage in sex. Because it's extremely important that condom use be used properly for them to be the most effective. Now, condoms are obviously a very common use of safe sex practice, but condoms actually aren't exclusive to just men anymore. Recently, there's been a new female condom that's actually been on the market. Actually, it goes by the name the FC2 female condom as the official name. Now, female condoms kind of work, but they're adapted to the female anatomy, obviously. Female condoms are actually designed to be inserted into the vagina or anus, actually, for protection from STDs. They're typically nitrile plastic, some are latex as well, and are designed to fit inside the vagina so that it can prevent the transmission of sperm into the uterus. Female condoms are are good at preventing birth control, are good effective ways to prevent pregnancy as well as sexually transmitted diseases. So condom use is very important, and that's just one form of barrier protection when dealing with safe sex practices. Now, of course, if the concern is pregnancy, then of course there are other options, including birth control, injections you can take, a lot of different other pills you can be on to help reduce pregnancy. But if the concern is reducing sexually transmitted diseases or STDs, then safe sex via barrier methods like condom use is very important. And the reason why at least I decided to do this show, because again, the article I referred to earlier, showing that there is a significant increase of STDs as of late, over the past 5 years. And it's believed because of the increased sexual activity amongst people, as well as the decreased use of condoms. And that's for a lot of different reasons, even though the majority of people still do practice safe sex, but there's a rising number of folks who decide to engage in unsafe sex with new sexual partners. And it's believed to be a cause of some of the recent rise in some of these STDs we're seeing. Now, this latest report I was referring to from the CDC looked at rates of different STDs, and it noted that rates of three particular illnesses, at least these are the ones that have to be reported, including chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis, all had jumps in their incidences, meaning they were more prevalent by up to 5%. So, syphilis. So it's important that given these recent rises in all these STDs, that in addition to using these barrier methods that we've already described, it's extremely important you get tested regularly. The best way to prevent spreading illnesses is to get tested if you believe you've been exposed to someone who may have had something, or if you're having sex regularly with various partners and you're basically practicing good sexual practices by using the barrier method. However, just the activity of intercourse is something that requires general health screenings because of some of the other illnesses that aren't actually prevented by barrier methods, especially conditions like herpes, that if you have an ulcer outside the area that's covered by the barrier method, you could still transmit that to your partner. So it's important that if you are having sex regularly, that you get tested. So in a nutshell, a lot of STDs on the rise. Summer is a very popular month where STDs are even further spread. So this show, we're going to talk about how to practice safe sex. And we've actually discussed some of the basic methods as far as how to use condoms and barrier methods. On the other half of the show, we're going to actually talk about the illnesses themselves. Talk in detail about some of the more common illnesses, signs and symptoms that you would expect to see if you meet someone who may have such illness, and essential ways to get them taken care of. So in a nutshell, we're going to discuss how you deal with some of these problems that you may encounter if you're a sexually active person out here in the streets. Again, thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for the second half of the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Health and Wellness Connection podcast, the ultimate podcast for the latest and greatest information on health and wellness topics. Now, today's show is all about sex and safe sex and how to be safe out there when engaged in sexual intercourse. These are the summer months, and science has shown that summer is when human beings are more sexually active. So this is more of a show to help people understand some of the dangers out there and making sure they're doing the good thing or the correct thing regarding safe sex practices. So we talked about some of the important ways to help prevent transmission of STDs, like the barrier methods, especially with condom usage and so forth, on the early part of the show. But now we're going to talk about some of the STDs themselves and kind of what kind of diseases are out there, what are people being exposed to. We already talked about some of the more common ones, the ones that are on the rise, especially chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. So we'll start off with those. We'll mention some others and give a little overview as well. So STDs. So what about STDs? How do you usually get them? What do they mean? STDs, again, sexually transmitted diseases. They usually pass from one person to another during oral, anal, or vaginal sex, typically. Now, there are lots of different STDs. Again, some are more common than others, as we've said. But there are a lot of different ones. Some are carried in the bodily fluids like semen, vaginal fluids, and blood. Others can simply be passed just from skin-to-skin touching. So, it's just anytime you're intimate with somebody, swapping fluids, if you will, you expose yourself to that person and all their internal issues. So one reason why you need to choose wisely when you're out there getting sexual partners, you want to be very careful not just to be willy-nilly with your goods. and exposing them to just anybody, because you really put yourself in danger. Now, of course, using barriers, like we mentioned, like condoms and dams and so forth, are good ways to help prevent contact, but even those aren't 100% foolproof. So, you know, nothing beats being picky with your partners, basically. You don't want to just pick anybody, but if you do, you want to make sure you protect yourself too. So let's talk about some of these things you need to protect yourself from, actually. Now, STDs, they can really affect anywhere, including your, but especially your genitalia. That's really the number one zone. So one thing you should do for, with anyone you're going to have intercourse with, just do a full genital inspection. If you see any kind of warts or sores or bleeding ulcers or anything around the genitalia, you might want to step away and consider waiting or getting someone, your partner, treated, or just finding another partner. So it's very important you're very cognizant of what you're exposing yourself to. Now, chlamydia we've talked about briefly, but let's go back in detail, because it's one of the more common illnesses we've seen recently as far as STDs. It's believed that up to 3 million Americans get chlamydia every year, especially around that 14 to 24, 25-year-old range. Chlamydia is, again, a very common STD. It's typically spread through vaginal, anal, and oral sex. And it's really can infect anywhere, especially, but in females and males, the genital organs are the primary target. Now, the good thing about chlamydia that it's very easily treated with antibiotics. So as long as you're treated, it's typically not a big deal. However, it can be something that can be potentially missed, especially in females. It's believed that chlamydia can lie dormant within the female organs, especially the uterus and so forth, for weeks with no symptoms. So this can potentially be a reason why some women can have severe pelvic infections from untreated or undiagnosed chlamydial infections. So if you're a female, especially, and you're having sexual partners, especially if you're engaging in unsafe sex, it's very important you get checked regularly to help minimize the risk of untreated chlamydial infections, because unfortunately, untreated chlamydia infections can cause very serious outcomes like infertility. So it's very important that if you're out there engaging in sex, get checked. So chlamydia is something that you want to be sure that you protect yourself from, and regular condom use and dental dams are great ways to help prevent yourself from being exposed to chlamydia. And again, this is something that's typically asymptomatic in females, but in males, you may notice a white discharge and pain with urination. So if you're a male with pain for urination, or really any symptoms are down there, you should be checked out regardless. But chlamydia is one of those illnesses that can lay dormant in certain females. So if you're a female, like you said earlier, definitely engage in regular checkups. Gonorrhea is also another very prevalent, very common STD. This is something that is historically known as the clap. Like let's say make it clap. I don't know if they're referring to gonorrhea, popular track, or something else, but or the drip, another common term. I think people are always bragging about their drip, their dripping, quote unquote. I think it's commonly used amongst the kids. Drip was the actual nickname for gonorrhea as well. So be careful when you have a friend claiming he's dripping with finesse. I think someone said that on a popular track. He may need to actually see his local doctor and get checked out. But that being said, gonorrhea is also spread through vaginal, anal, and oral sex. So you want to be careful, like I said, if you're out there engaging in sex, to not or reduce really your exposure to unprotected sex just because of some of these illnesses out there. Gonorrhea is typically also associated in men with burning, urination, and a foul penile discharge. So you have that, definitely get checked out. Females also can have a foul discharge and pelvic pain. Some women also can be asymptomatic, meaning they have no symptoms. So if you're engaging in sex, definitely get testing regularly because of the importance of these detecting these potentially silent infections. So the main thing with gonorrhea, it's also easily treated. You do need to go to your local physician or STD clinic where they can give you a simple injection, which will clear it up. But again, it's something that if not treated, it can be also very dangerous. It can spread through the bloodstream, infect other organs, your heart, your liver, can really do some damage. And it's one of the more aggressive infections. So gonorrhea is one of those things you want to get taken care of ASAP. Can't stress that enough. So again, just another reason why regular testing is so important if you're engaging in sex. Syphilis. Now, like we said earlier, syphilis is one of those illnesses that's been around forever. I mean, there's been reports of people in the 1800s talking about syphilis infections. I mean, it's one of those issues or illnesses that it's extremely old, extremely common. Typically, syphilis is usually associated with canker sores on the genitalia. These sores are usually very painless. So another reason why you need to really inspect that genitalia, if you're engaging in intercourse, quickly examining someone. And so a good way to help screen someone so that you don't get exposed to something that's potentially very contagious. Most people who have these syphilis sores, though, don't have pain, and they kind of ignore them. So you have to be helpful. Sometimes someone may not realize they have such a sore, and bringing it to their attention can be a good way to help preventing the further spread of such an illness. Syphilis is one of those illnesses that can infect your vagina, your anus, your penis, your scrotum, your lips, and your mouth. Really can infect your entire body. So very important that you engage in barrier methods of intercourse, like safe condom use, and just overall being very selective in who you decide to engage intercourse with. So overall, syphilis is also one of those illnesses that spread via skin-to-skin contact. So just touching someone who has a syphilic sore can be a way you can easily give it to someone else. This is why also we mentioned earlier about the barrier method not being 100% foolproof, because if someone has a syphilitic sore outside where the condom is covering, then you actually will not get protection if that sore comes into direct contact with the partner's skin. So again, thorough inspection is a good idea of your partner before engaging in intercourse. But in general, everyone should get checked by a medical professional just to ensure that there's no continuation of illness spread. Now, speaking of sores, herpes is another illness that is also associated with sores that also can affect the mouth, anus, genitalia. Now, herpes sores are typically painful, so tenderness around the soreness is something that usually seen in herpetic patients. Herpes is one of those illnesses that's extremely contagious and extremely important, because there's actually no official cure for herpes. Herpes is something that can be controlled via some of the current medications out there, which you would definitely need to see your physician if there is a concern for herpes exposure or herpes infection, as usually routine maintenance with antiviral medications is typically the standard. So again, painful sores, herpes, painless sores, syphilis. Now, of course, the disease that everyone knows about and has been considered the granddad of them all, HIV, even though currently with the current regimen treatments, there's actually a lot of great medications now to treat HIV and keep you healthy and strong. In other words, HIV is no longer a death sentence, but it is something that's very important still, and definitely you should be trying to avoid because of its significant health ramifications. HIV is a virus that causes AIDS, actually, and it damages your immune system, making it easier for you to become ill. Typically, HIV is spread through sex, but condoms are also very useful. And the reason why condom use is so important, because it can actually help prevent potential infected fluid from getting into the body. Now, HIV is something that affects everybody, including heterosexual and homosexual individuals. It can affect men and women. It can definitely be something that can affect children, especially if they're delivered to mothers who have HIV. So it's something that affects everybody, and something that everyone should be aware of and know how to prevent the transmission of. It's believed about 41,000 new infections happen every year. So it's something that is fairly prevalent. Almost 1 million people are believed to have HIV in the United States alone, far greater in a lot of countries across the globe. So it's something that everyone, is potentially a victim, or can be a victim of, and should be aware of. Now, the great news is that due to the advent of some amazing medications, you can really have a very healthy, functioning lifestyle with HIV. Some illnesses, all these the medications now that there are some medications now you can use that are so convenient, you just take them once a day, and they can help prevent proliferation of the virus in the bloodstream. So HIV is something that's, you know, hopefully people are very aware of now, given the history of the illness in the world. But it's something that, you know, can be treated. So it's important that if you think you've been exposed to HIV or you haven't been tested and you're engaging in sexual activity, you definitely need to go and make an appointment and see your primary care doctor or visit a local clinic in your area that engages in public health, as you can definitely get tested there. As everyone should know their status, especially if you're sexually active. Now, because there's literally hundreds of illnesses and stuff we can talk about, let's talk about one more and we'll wrap it up. And that's HPV, human papillomavirus. It's probably the most common sexually transmitted infection. Now, the good news about HPV is that it's usually harmless. It doesn't really cause a whole lot of symptoms, but the bad news is that certain types of the HPV virus can lead to cancer and or genital warts. So it's still something that you probably don't want, even though overall it's harmless. But there are, you know, there are certain kinds of HPV viruses that if you do get them, can be potentially very deadly as far as the effect they can have on your body. So because of this, HPV is something that many people are advising people should be vaccinated against. Now, of course, the vaccine argument has been very controversial. I am overall a proponent of vaccines, but not everybody is. And HPV is one of those vaccines that are out there, and they are designed to help reduce the risk of cancer in people who are, you know, sexually active. Something that, again, is also very controversial, but something that everyone should look into if they are, you know, really, you know, engaging in intercourse and they want to have the maximum protection against potential deadly forms of HPV that can cause cancer. So HPV is something that you should be definitely screened for if you're sexually active. That can be done with your routine physical exam. But if you do have warts, especially lesions or painless warts, or you have a partner who has those, you probably want to refrain from sexual activity until those are addressed or treated. Again, there's so many different illnesses out there. We just kind of reviewed some of the more common ones. The most important thing, hopefully you were able to pick up on some of these illnesses, is that most of them can be prevented by the simple use of barrier methods like condoms. It's so important that if you're engaging in sex, especially with new partners, different partners, you use condoms every time you are engaged in intercourse to help reduce the risk of transmitting potentially deadly illnesses. It's really can't be stressed more than it can be stressed more than I have already. But please just consider that. Overall, you know, summertime is a good time to have fun. Consider do what you can to stay safe, including safe sex practices. And don't forget to eat right, too, and make sure you do what you can to make it to the next day. Again, I think we ran over our time. I want to thank you all for joining us today on the Health and Wellness Connection podcast. Hopefully you learned something. Feel free to reach out if you have any questions. Again, I can be reached at our illustrious blog or email. Sorry, email me at drberry@controlyourweight.com. You can also reach me on Instagram at DrBerryMD. And lastly, check us out on Facebook, www.facebook.com/nextlevelweightloss. Again, thanks for joining us tonight on the Health and Wellness Connection. See you next time.